Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live inside the main build facility here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom, and we all know the horn honking master, Bubba. Good morning, Bub. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing really good so far, man. We have a lot of stuff going on here. There's another one of these rides that is literally rolling out of the BEM facility. We talk about it all the time, how much stuff that's going on. The bike yesterday, we had the exotics going the day before. We had, that was Sunday, so I don't know where I'm coming from. I mean, stuff going on last week, all the way through. We've got the racing stuff going on. And this is just another one of those classics, man. It's a straight up numbers matching. Only thing done is one paint job over this 54 Pontiac Chieftain's entire life. Only thing that's been modified. The upholstery is original. The lighting is original. It's all still a 6-volt system. Straight 8 flathead is considered what? The nailhead they consider this motor. Automatic. This thing is an absolute beast, and we just finished doing more mechanical to it. It's getting ready to head home today at 1.
This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique. From the finest for the finest in boutique apparel, visit Miss Outlaw Boutique there on the web and on Facebook. 561-660-6695. Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach, the Guinness World Record holding largest Cars and Coffee event. Monkey in Paradise, Bub. Monkey in Paradise reminds you to please drink responsibly. And they'd like to know what's your paradise.
What is your paradise?
Being with you and working with you every day. That's a consistent for me.
Yeah.
How's that, Bub?
That's a great one.
Does that work, Bub?
Yeah, it works great.
Hey, Bub, let's talk a little bit about this 54 Pontiac Chieftain. You've done some things over the years to this car. It is a great, iconic piece of American history. Mm-hmm. You're a big guy. You're a thick, solid guy. But look at the size of this car. It gives you a great to scale feel for what used to roam the American roads.
Yeah, they were big cars, man. It's, you know, they were big. They had, you know, full-size engines in these things, you know, whether they be a V8 flathead or a straight flat, you know, straight flathead like this is. You know, they were great. They were powerhouses. They pulled the cars along plenty fine. You know, and they ran really well. They were super strong. They weren't the most powerful things in terms of speed, but they pulled the car and made beautiful cruisers out of them every day.
They really did have a very comfortable ride about them, Bub.
Yeah.
The suspension, the technologies and suspensions, people don't know how far we've really come. Everybody gets in their modern day car, turns the key, it comes to life, and, you know, you go down the road, you don't think anything, you tune in your favorite XM station, and you just go on about your day.
Yeah.
Right? Connecting with the Bluetooth in your car and doing this and doing that, it all just works flawlessly. In those days, you were dealing with point-style ignitions, breaker-style ignitions. You were dealing with carburetors, man. You were dealing with drum brakes, and you were dealing with cars that were weighing 3-4 tons.
Yeah, they were heavy rides, man. They were super heavy to move down the road. They floated, you know, drum brake systems on them. They stopped terribly. They pulled all over the road. The bias ply tires let them pull everywhere as well. So there were a lot of things about them that, you know, were just total downfalls. But worked for their time, and you know, now with today's technology, you can upgrade all of that. You can upgrade to white wall radial, so you have the factory look like this 3-inch white wall here, but you can do it on a radial tire so it doesn't grab the grain in the road and pull everywhere. It handles better, it stops better, it rides better. You know, disc brake conversion kits that you can do that look factory. You can do the electronic ignitions that actually, these upgrades that go inside the original points distributors, but get rid of the points so you can set them one time. You set the air gap on these things if needed, and then you just go. You go on down the road, you don't have to deal with it. They start up amazing, they run amazing, all the way down to 12 volt conversions. You can get rid of the old 6 volt system that was dim lights, poor charging systems. You know, batteries are hard to come by nowadays. You can do the 12 volt conversion, make them charge properly, 14 volts and above, and these things will literally perform that much better. So you're taking that flathead motor and you're making it 10 times, 100 times better with the proper fuel delivery, the proper spark delivery, being that it's on a 14 volt system, a charging volt system like that. And it runs great.
You know, Bub, these cars required a tremendous amount of adjustment and maintenance. It really fueled an American economy, Bub. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were people that would work in the gas stations dressed in white with caps on, much like you would think of the Good Humor Man who rode around in the trucks.
Yeah.
And they would, when you pulled in back in those days, Bub, they would greet you with a rag in their back pocket, and their shoes were neatly shined. Their clothes were pressed well. Everybody spoke very well, had impeccable manners. They would check your oil. They would wash your windshield. They even pumped gas for you, Bub. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't get that anymore, that's for sure.
You don't. No. Some states like New Jersey mandate that they pump your gas for you and do stuff
Yeah,
like
but that's
that.
The state where you get robbed when they pump your gas.
That's correct, they do. The attendants rob
Man.
You. That's right. These cars were hard to get on to stop, too, Bob. There was no stopping this much weight very easily.
Yeah, there wasn't. I mean, especially in, you know, in congested areas. You know, there's a lot of guys that have cars like this that are in kind of bigger cities where there's a lot of traffic, and it becomes miserable to drive them. You know, it truly takes the fun out because of, you know, numerous things between the braking system, if it's all original with, you know, non-power four-wheel drum brake systems that just were slow, they didn't respond well, they didn't grab hard, they pulled all over the road, you had sloppy steering to try to counteract it, you know, all the way down to just these cars sitting in traffic on hot days, man. In South Florida, it gets really hot here, and if you sit in a lot of traffic, maybe one of the bridges is going up right on the intercoastal way. That kind of stuff leads to overheating conditions. The systems just couldn't handle it, and you got to make sure that you've got all that stuff upgraded so it can't handle it and go down the road.
And you make a good point there, Bob. You know, these cars didn't have the ability to just sit and idle for hours like we used to, like we can see today.
Oh, you can start a car today and let it run for a whole week straight until it runs out of gas.
Correct. Electric fans come in and out at a regulated time that, based on the temperature. Mm-hmm. You call them relays, correct?
Yep.
That allow the car to maintain its peak efficiency and its peak operating temperature at all times. These had a single fan driven by a V-belt that robbed the engine of power and only cooled at one level.
Yeah, so it's, you know, just a lot of things that you could do to upgrade these cars. This one's really cool in the fact that it is all original. The drivetrain, everything's front to rear on this car is original. It has truly been a rebuilt system on this car. It's, if ever something were to fail, we've rebuilt it. You know, it's been a really long history we've had here at BEM with this car. This 54 Chieftain's gone through a lot of upgrades, a lot of work. We didn't do the paint on this thing. It was done a long time ago, but this is one paint job on this car since original. It's the original color match color, so it's dead on what it should be. I'm talking all the way down to the factory trunk stickers. Everything that should be in its correct places is all there from 54. Almost unheard of, almost hard to find. That's more of that kind of barn find stuff that people talk about, or survivor cars. You know, this is truly it, but this thing not only looks really good, but it runs like a freaking top, dude. I mean, this thing just, you can't hear it idle.
No, you can't. And that was the case with many of the engines from that day. They were very silent. Even mechanically, they were very silent. You didn't hear a lot of noise in them.
Yeah, they weren't even, a lot of these things, man, back then, weren't even hydraulic valve trains in them. They were just all solid connecting points from, you know, the camshaft to the lifter lobes to the, going all the way through the pushrod to the rocker tips. Everything was all solid. It was just, you make your adjustments on hot and cold, and you know, whether it's 18,000, 16, 22, 30, whatever that adjustment may have been on the shim basis, you build it off of that, and then that was it, man, and it purred like it should. And these things do just that.
And it's funny, these old 6-volt systems, you barely think they're gonna start. You know, you step on the gas pedal where there's a starter on the floorboard, it triggers a switch, so it allows fuel, and allows the starter to contact at the same time. And it's just, it's, and then it catches
and goes.
Yeah. It's really crazy. It was very iconic, man. It was very different. Your carburetor had to maintain it in a constant state of adjustment, Bob. Mm-hmm. Your brakes, I mean, if one of the drum brakes was off, the trailing or leading shoe on any one of these corners was off, that car would veer or pull off to one side or the other.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of adjustments you had to do with these things. Literally, there were manuals that came with these cars that said your adjustments. You know, before certain trips, you would adjust your points. You know, you'd adjust your points when you changed the oil. And it just got to a point where, you know, you were always spending so much time. And that's where a lot of guys in today's market, even if they do have these, like, quote-unquote numbers matching cars, a lot of guys do just the basic upgrades to make them enjoyable numbers matching cars. So you can, you know, upgrade from, like, let's say, your power brake or your non-power brakes to a power brake, and you can also upgrade to a disc brake conversion with a lot of the great companies out there that offer look-alike or direct fit style systems you bolt on. They're all color-coded the way that they should be, so it's almost like you went and bought this car in the 54 series, and you bought it and you ordered it with a power disc brake, electronic ignition. The average end user would never be able to look and tell that there was a difference that had been changed. You just get that much improved driving and handling.
And the cars back in those days, Bub, they were only, as you know, you look at the intricacy of the metals and the weights and the ornate lines of the vehicle. You know, your eye can draw a line down and follow the lower fender pattern. You know, the Buicks had portals up on the nose of it, and they still retain some of that styling today as a hand back to those days, right? The Buick Specials and everything from 53, 54, things like that. But what you see, Bob, is a car that only lasted 30 to 50,000 miles. If you got 50,000 miles out of a car, you were doing something.
Yeah, it's, you know, and again, it's just how you take care of them. You know, and people back then never thought that they'd have to, you know, they didn't look this far forward into the future, you know, with their cars. You know, knowing that that was the technology of the time, they just kind of rode with it and did their thing, and that was it. But when you really think about it, if you could have gone back 50, 60 years ago and you could have taken all the proper steps to preserve all of those older cars and move them forward, man, it'd be that much cooler today.
It'd be a lot better, wouldn't it, man?
Yeah, people didn't know about what water would do to metal and how it would rust. And, you know, guys like us that have to deal with repairing that stuff nowadays, it's, you know, if all that stuff was taken care of and, you know, maybe undercoating was done from the factories, you know, if certain things were done, if there were coating protectants that were put on, if we had some of the ceramics that were available today back then, half of these cars wouldn't have a single lick of rust on them on the panels, you know, because it would repel water and not hold it all down in the bottoms of the fenders and the bottom of the doors, man. It's just a mess.
It was a mess, wasn't it?
Yep.
So, you know, Bub, it's a great piece of American history. It's very iconic. And I know you go to great lengths to preserve these pieces of American history. You built a career on it as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just a lot of knowledge base. You got to know every one of these things requires a different set of specs. Every one of them, and that's just, if you don't take the time to figure it out, you might as well just take your freaking stuff and go on down the road.
Right.
Because you can't do it. You can't take a basic fundamental. You know, on these things, when you're working with 6-volt systems, everything is a factor. When you're trying to tune this carburetor, the 6-volt system is going to be a factor. The charging volts are going to be a factor. The voltage regulator is going to be a factor. The air-fuel mixture is going to be a factor. The spark plug gap is going to be a factor. The spark plug temperature, the hot or cold. I mean, the thickness of your wire is 6, 7, 8 millimeter. The point gap, I'm talking from 14 thousandths all the way up to 22 thousandths. Any of those is either going to make this car run strong or it's going to make it run like junk. And every one of these cars had a different set of specs. And in stuff like this, it's easy to go out and you just find the factory specs. There's plenty of websites out there that have all of this old data on it. You can pull them up. You can pull these old manuals. And I've actually got a whole bunch of the manuals from like 35 all the way to the 80s. So I've got every car covered, which is perfect. But you know, every one of these things having different specs, you can't just go around with this basic, oh, set the points to 16 thousandths. Okay, sure. You might get the car to run, but it may run like crap on this car. It might run really, really good on a Nash, for example. You know, so every one of these things has a different spec.
And you had to invest in that. And it was done via books. It wasn't done via computer.
No, not at all.
You know, in those days, people dressed very nicely with thin ties, black pants, white shirt, and sat at drafting boards all day long to do this. There was no computer, Bub.
Yeah, which is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, man.
Yeah.
A lot of work. So, Bub, you know, I appreciate you keeping these pieces of American history on the road and alive, man.
Yeah, man. It's just a lot of work, dude. It's a lot of work. Not only doing the modern stuff, doing the crazy builds, doing the exotics, doing the bikes that we've got going over here. I'm really freaking pissed off with that thing right now.
Tell us about it.
Man, dude. So the quality control, I'm telling you, I have no idea. I have no problem saying it. The quality control of Harley-Davidson right now sucks. Sucks balls, dude. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I mean, literally for, you know, I'm working on bolts that are rated. I have the factory Harley service manual for this year and for this bike. It's what I do with everything I do. You know, a bolt that should be 8 foot-pounds, man, come on. You can literally do that with thumb and index finger, especially with my arms. I can do that thumb and index finger and break loose 8 foot-pounds and take a bolt out. These things are literally having to be heated. The aluminum base, the threading, everything's having to be heated just to even get the things to break loose because either A, they were put in cross-threaded, or B, there was so much over-strength and over-strong Loctite put on the heads of these bolts. And Harley tells you, each bolt, they show you what color Loctite to use, whether you're using red, whether you're using blue, whether you're using the yellow, even some of their gray. So there's all kinds of different, you know, parameters. Again, you have to take the time and understand what you're freaking working with. On a case like this, you've got a bunch of idiots who did it who didn't care. They didn't care about the guy down the road, and this bike's only 3 months old. So they didn't look into the future at all.
No.
They didn't look into the future in a week. So if that bike were to go out, maybe their engine failure, something happened, maybe a push rod bent, maybe the tip of a push rod cracked, right? Very simple, something happened, maybe an engine oil failure happened, all of these little things that could come up. If that bike would have come back into this guy's hands because it didn't make a quality control on his own showroom floor, he probably would have been pissed off if he was putting his hands on it, and he's now having to deal with the problem. But people don't think like that.
No, they don't.
No.
You do, Bub. It's kind of what sets you apart.
Yep.
But you're very persistent. You take your time, and you relax. You don't let it get you down. You don't grumble. You don't use profanity. You don't get upset.
Yeah, but this little sucker is pissing me off, dude.
Yeah, I know it is. Mr. Producer, do you have a question?
Larry Williams, very cool car. Richard, morning from Albion, Texas. Super nice car. Robert Simmons, what a beautiful ride.
Robert, nice. Good morning up there in Fairfax, Virginia. How are you, buddy? I hope everything's well in that part of the country. Larry Williams out there watching. Larry, you're doing some really cool stuff out there. Again, kudos, Larry, to the new shirts you guys have got going on. Everybody check out his, what's his website, Bub, sale?
So I know his Instagram is Sunnyside and also Sailfish. I think it's Sailfish 40, something like
Sailfish
that.
Sailfish 40,
I go right past him when I click on it.
Yeah, exactly. I always click on his stuff too. But check out his stuff. One of the best in the business today. Larry Williams up there in Georgia, man. The best upholsterer you're going to find out there.
Really
He's very good.
Really, really
good. Absolutely, man. And Richard Oakland out there in Abilene, Texas. How are you doing, sir? I'm glad you're enjoying this episode and the car as well. So, Bob, we're going to jump out of this episode here. We've got a lot going on. I've been spending the day. We had a big financial meeting this morning, you and I did. I'm now working on the SEMA sponsorship packages and getting those back to people because you've got a long way to go with the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Turbinetics 2017 S550 Mustang.
Yeah, man. It's a lot of hard work there. And it's, people don't understand that every part of everything that we do here is all strategic planning, truly. Whether it's the way that the cars are being flowed through the facility or, like in this case, just moving papers. As small as moving papers is, it's all about planning because we have to, for example, let's say we've got a company. We have three companies that make one on this car, right? So for SEMA, this Mustang we're doing, we have Brembo Brakes supplying a big brake kit that's going to be industry one-off. So big brake kit front and rear for this car, going to be insane. 15.5-inch rotors, that's huge. So we've got, starting with your brakes, then we've also got the wheel company that is getting ready to throw wheels at this thing, Toyo Tires, throwing tires at this thing. And then we've got Extreme Dimensions doing a wide body. So all of these factors and parameters on a car that is truly going to be a one-off car, that's going to be unveiled at SEMA in Turbonetics booth 24125, this thing is, just from a matter of moving papers, we have to get Extreme Dimensions done first because they're wide body. I can't do any other measurement or spec or fitment until I have the wide body mocked up, designed, and built on that car. Then I can go ahead and take measurements for what my brake kit's gonna be, because typically adding a brake kit to a car, especially with how tight we're running this setup, is gonna be an 1/8 inch, sometimes a 1/4 inch thicker or wider, and it can push your wheels out just a touch more. In this case, when I'm working with three-piece wheels, probably $10,000-$12,000 worth of wheels that are getting cut for this car. 13-inch wide front, 15-inch wide rear, that's huge. It's gonna be insane, the stance is gonna be sick. The custom tires that are cut for this thing are gonna be incredible the way this car looks. But every one of these pieces has to be built in a certain direction as I go through the build, and we're up against the clock from a build standpoint on the wheels and tires. Brembo's got it covered, they've got everything sitting on the shelf. Extreme Dimensions, they've got it on the shelf. But when it comes to getting custom tires and custom wheels built, that's a whole other ball game there, and it's 4 to 6 weeks minimum before I even get them off of the mill to coating, because I'm doing these three different colors and anodized red. It's gonna be a lot of gloss black toning on there, some chrome, it's gonna look insane. Really pop, and I'll tell you what, man, just getting that step done alone is gonna be another 1 to 2 weeks to add to the 4 to 6, plus getting them here to me from the West Coast, got another week there. So you're at 7-8 weeks, and we already know we're up against the clock. I haven't even measured.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we call doing it Bubba style. It's a handful, Bub.
It's a handful.
You're the best. You're absolutely the best, man.
Yep.
You're absolutely the best.
We'll get it done.
That's going to do it for this episode of Doing It Bubba Style. Until tomorrow, Bub.
Just keep on doing it Bubba style.
This episode's been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports and the former Pontiac Motor Company. Bubba's Exotic Motorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique for the finest in boutique apparel, the edgiest in the world. Visit Miss Outlaw Boutique on the web and on Facebook. Call her at 561-660-6695. Cars and Coffee at Palm Beach, the Guinness World Record holding Cars and Coffee event. This month it is August 27th this month.
I think the 26th.
August 26th. Check your calendars. The last Sunday of the month. Come out and join us. The BEM rally team will be set up again. We're going to be right at the front because it drew such a crowd this month. Make sure you join us, please. Monkey in Paradise. They're over my shoulder over here. Monkey in Paradise, the 2-time double gold winner in San Francisco, made right here in West Palm Beach, Florida. Monkey reminds you to please drink responsibly. Make sure you reach out to touch somebody's life in a positive way today. Open the door if somebody's hands are full. Put shoes on somebody's feet if they have holes in them. And you know what? Somebody's hungry, buy them a meal. I want to say a big shout out to my personal assistant, Craig, yesterday. He called. Great conversation. I appreciate all his love and support. I want the world to know that. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep on doing it Bubba style.